The gospel today is from Mark, chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happen, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. You may be seated. Lord God, we thank you for this word, for this gospel. We pray that you would speak to us as we reflect on your word in this time. Help us apply these words in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We know that there are certain ways to do certain things. Everyone's got their own way of doing things. And often it comes down to personal preference, like when you wash dishes. Do you wash from the right to the left? You know, you have soap water here, the rinse water there, and the rack over there, or is it reversed? How do you do it? Well, there's a certain way to watch a parade too, like in Abercrombie. If you've been to that parade ever. Anybody ever been to that parade there? How many of you were on the north side of the street? Raise your hand typically. On the north side. You know, the side that's more, you know, no, okay. How many on the south side? Okay, different ways to do it. Some of you sit on the truss benches that are out there from the company, or some of you like to be in the shade on the other side of the street, or further down the road under the shade. Some just like the sun. Maybe you're sitting in a car or riding on a float. Different ways to do a parade. There are also a couple ways to watch an eclipse. Using a special welder-like solar glasses, you can look directly at the sun. You can watch using a pinhole box, which I made in about, I think, 8 minutes this year because I was running out of time to get it done. And we watched that through a little tank. You know, it wasn't very big, but you can see it. Or maybe you can just watch it on television or the internet. Lots of ways to watch an eclipse. In fact, there's a lunar eclipse coming up on January 31st. And I didn't know about that until I was getting ready for this. But it's pretty cool. It's going to be a complete lunar eclipse. You can check that out. It's early in the morning. You have to get up early to see it. 5:45 it starts. And it ends... a little bit later on, but it'll be probably a little sunny out, but you can see it really well at about 6:45 a.m. We're told in our gospel today that we are to keep watch. Three times the word watch is mentioned by Jesus. We are told to be on guard. We're told to be alert. What are we to watch for? We're to watch For when, quote, the Son of Man will be coming in clouds with great power and glory. That's what we're to watch for. Jesus is speaking about himself here, and he's making an allusion to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. I'm going to read that to you in this time, so listen closely. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. In my vision at night, Daniel's speaking here, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, power, and sovereign, or glory, authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. In this text, we hear a lot about things that are mighty, and it sounds like that can only be God. That's who that Son of Man is. And Jesus liked to call himself, most of all, the Son of Man. That's how we have it recorded in the Gospels. 84 times in the Gospels, the Son of Man is referenced to being Jesus. Isn't that interesting? And I couldn't find one time that he himself called himself the Son of God, though he was called that by others and didn't refuse it. But he preferred Son of Man. And the demons called Jesus the Son of God. Satan called Jesus Son of God. Some men testified Jesus being the Son of God. But Jesus really preferred Son of Man. And I think, speculating here, but I think primarily because there was less baggage with it, and also because it wouldn't preempt him being crucified too soon. You know, like Mark kept saying, at once, things rapidly would happen. And there was a thing people like to call the messianic secret, when he didn't want it to be let out too soon of what he was. So maybe that's why he preferred Son of Man, possibly. But anyway, Jesus also referred to himself when they tried him illegally before his crucifixion. He said this, it's verses 63 and 64 of, I think, Matthew. But the high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Here he wanted him to say Son of God. But Jesus instead replied, you have said so. So he admits it. But I say to you, to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. He really liked that and spoke about himself as being that. Of course, this high priest knew what Jesus was saying, because he says, he tore his clothes and he says, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Why is he saying he's spoken blasphemy? Because he claims himself to be God in that text by calling himself the Son of Man. Those days in our text today, in Mark 13, you hear all these things going to be happening, and things that have never happened since the creation of the world and never will happen afterwards. He refers to these events, and these happened before Christ's return, and a lot of people call it the tribulation. Those days of distress will, quote, be unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Those days, a lot of people say, oh, we are living the last times, the final days. Very well possibly, you know. I think it could get a lot worse. But a lot of people in generations ever since Jesus' time have thought these are the final days, because there's so much wickedness in the world. So many bad things happen. So much persecution of Christians. But when it comes to this, when it happens, it's going to be bad. It's going to be tough. These days of tribulation, these days referred to as those days. We also hear this in verse 31 today. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. It is God's word that will never pass away. We hear about that in Matthew 24, verse 35. We hear about it in Luke 21, 33. Similar events as to this one. But also listen to this from Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. The word of God endures forever. And Jesus said, his word endures forever. Therefore, the word of God is Jesus is that word saying these things which endure forever. Another example of Jesus not only being human, but also being God. Because he said, my words will never pass away. I want to ask you this question. Who is responsible to admit that, to God that they're a sinner and that they can't save themselves? Who is responsible? We are. You are, I am, people are. That's why that call to repentance goes all the way from the Old Testament all the way through the New to the very end, last book. God continually calling to his creation to turn to him. Who is responsible for staying close to God? You know, when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they are his, claimed by his, who is responsible to make sure that relationship is maintained? We are. That's right. It's not your parents. It's not your children. It's not your spouse. It's not your religious neighbor. It's you. Responsible to read the word and to pray. Who is responsible to watch each day? We know we are. It may not be something you wake up with, but Jesus says, I tell everyone, watch, keep watch. Do we keep watch to say, I wonder if Jesus is coming back today? If we had that mentality starting the day, we might live our day a lot differently. Was it the Quakers who said that we are to live each day as though it's our last and each day as though it's the first day of all eternity? We are responsible to watch. Jesus says, watch, keep watch. Watch for the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus himself. 1 Corinthians 1:7-8 says this. We had it read today. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep us strong. And I believe it's very important to know that we ask him to keep us strong. We need your help, Lord, to keep us strong, to keep watchful. Who is responsible to ask God to help you keep strong? I would say you, me. Our righteousness, our good things, which we do. Isaiah 64:6 says that they are, our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God. The best things we possibly can do, apart from Christ, are like filthy rags before God. So many people thinking that they can be saved by what they do, it's actually impossible, we know. Only can be saved by what Christ has done and receiving that and having that in our life. We are to watch. As the Wendman said earlier, watch. As the scripture said, watch. And Jesus says to us, watch. Keep watch for his coming. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. I don't know when. But he says we're not to be found sleeping. We know we sleep each day. We have to sleep. It's not physical sleep. He's speaking about spiritual sleep. We need to keep alert. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for your powerful word. And your reminder to us, your command to us to keep watch. Help us to watch, Lord God. Help us to be ready for your coming. Whether it's today, this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, each day, God, help us to keep watch. For you, Lord Jesus, coming again. In your name we pray. Amen.